Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Broadcast episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and Everything Church Related Podcast. We are continuing our conversation today with Dr. Richard Ruling, a notable prophecy expert, and we've been talking about earthquakes and volcanoes and other things happening in the news right now, other potential disasters that could be looming over the horizon, that he has been teaching us different areas of the Bible that discuss these things. Now, last time I had him on, probably a month or so ago, at the time of this recording, he said something was going to happen on this last Saturday, I think it was May 23rd, something like that, and I'm questioning him on that as we begin today's podcast episode. I wanted to ask him, he thought something was going to happen, but it didn't, and here's his explanation for these things, and it makes sense with what he's saying, but that's where we're going to start off today's broadcast episode with as we conclude this interview with Dr. Richard Ruling.
We talked last time, you said something was probably going to happen on Saturday, but it didn't. What do you have to say on that?
The phrase, as it was in the days of Noah, in Noah's time, Noah entered the ark on the 10th day, and the animals went in with him. And I think that's a huge sign, and I was looking for something bigger than happened on Saturday. I did not see any huge sign, but the San Andreas Fault, there were several areas on it that had minor earthquakes, between 2.5 and 3 on Richter. It's nothing huge. But the San Andreas is what I believe will be activated, and minor earthquakes on it don't get it. If what's coming isn't a 7 or 8 or 9, it won't be big enough to be the sign, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, basically, go ahead.
I was just saying, with the activity on the San Andreas, we started this episode talking about, something huge was going to happen in California.
Right.
That's right where the San Andreas is.
Yes.
And you said, there's, warning, scientists are warning that the big one is imminent. And not only that, but the San Andreas also is part of the Ring of Fire, the Pacific Rim Ring of Fire, which could activate all sorts of volcanoes and ash and everything being spewed into the air.
When you called me this morning, I was in the process of Googling California news, and I'll just read the top item. I'll just read the headline is California Big One Warning: U.S. officials hold terrifying drill amid fears of huge, and the word huge is in all caps, disaster. So they must know something that we don't know. It says fears surrounding the inevitable big one, a catastrophic earthquake in California that will cause unprecedented damage and possibly trigger a tsunami, has prompted U.S. officials to step in and begin evacuation drills. Mm. Other headlines specified 400,000 that they were planning for Arizona to accept from Southern California. Who would dream that up?
So
you mentioned also the history of the fact that some of these drills turn out to be the real thing.
Over and over again, we've seen that.
Yeah. So I'd say watch and pray Wednesday night. That's my best, and I pray that we can all be used by God in a strong way for the end times. Yeah. Oh, let me say this: I have a book that's free on the internet at Amazon on Wednesday, and people can get a copy of it if they would go to Amazon and type in my name, Richard Ruling. The last name is spelled Ruhling. And the title of the book is The Earthquake and the Seven Seals. And I believe those seven seals are needed information for the end time, as a way of making, you know, just like Revelation 6 has the seals, each one has a topic that I believe has been somehow leavened out of our Christian practice today. The best example I could easily give you is like Passover, time of judgment. We don't do Passover; we do Easter.
Right,
you know,
Easter.
That's the Pope's plan. But Passover was time of judgment, and it has nothing to do with bunny rabbits or eggs. You know, it's fertility symbols like the pagans mm-hmm. have. It's mm-hmm. it's really has imagery of judgment that we would pray God will pass over us. And while Christ accepted judgment for the world, the Revelation has a message of judgment in Revelation 14:7. Fear God, give glory to Him. The time of His judgment is come. Well, you know, we don't somehow get it. We just think everything's going to be okay. Well, I think you know, big trouble's coming, and pray that we can be right with God, protected. You know, like the good man, if he'd have known, would have watched, not suffered his house to be broken. It says in Matthew 24. And I think that if people want to get my book, The Earthquake and Seven Seals, they will find a blessing in the different topics, which have a sevenfold emphasis. You know, in there, and so they can, and so if there's an earthquake, they'll want to read the book, basically, and they'll understand it and the principles there.
Now, you said Wednesday night. Now, Wednesday night in Arizona, California time is like early Thursday in the Middle East. Okay, so how does that work?
Yeah. Well, I really don't know, and I let God sort that out. You know, it's still for them. It would be early Thursday, but it will. You know, Paul says that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And I think when the real things happen, they for that specific type, that it will be at night. While in Middle East, I think judgment's on America more than on the Middle East right now for our poor acceptance of light. We've aborted 60 million, and redefined marriage. The Supreme Court has not supreme at all, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the judgment is still out. But I think if we get judgment like Billy Graham was looking for, we will see that the Supreme Court is not good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree totally that, you know, America has, I mean, when I think back to how I was raised, you know, in the 60s by my grandparents, you know, we were late 50s, early 60s, what we thought was, you know, totally way out there is not only been accepted as normal practice, they've exceeded the immorality aspect of it, you know?
Yeah,
you know, growing up in the 60s, it was the love generation and the anti-war and everything. But even though we had the race riots in 67, 68, nothing has compared to the viciousness that we see in the news today. I mean, if you say anything against anybody, all of a sudden, you know, everything just blows up. There's no love between neighbors. You know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a rarity to see that. Even though your social interactions with each other are okay, I'm talking about what the news is blanketing, you know, especially this nation with, it's all division. They did this, he said that, you know, and it does nothing to promote harmony. It does nothing to promote the Bible. It does nothing to promote, you know, peace between men. It's all meant to divide. I mean, division is
exactly
the name of the game.
Yes, it's been coming there. Actually, truth be told, the Civil War was an effort to divide this nation,
right,
and the forces behind it we may not fully understand, but Lincoln is a hero in my book, and he defended a Catholic priest, Charles Chiniquy, who was being framed by some bishops. He did not want to go along with a shady land deal in the Chicago area, but they framed him. But a woman told Lincoln, the true story, and he defended Chiniquy and got him off the hook.
Amen.
But the hatred for Chiniquy said he could see the hatred of the Jesuits in that courtroom, and he knew Lincoln would be a dead man. And after the Civil War, similarly, by the way, the Pope was the only foreign entity that recognized the illustrious president of the Confederate States, Jefferson Davis. He was eager for that to happen and hoped that it would, but it didn't.
the
South was defeated.
Yeah,
but the South was defeated, and Lincoln held this country together for our time. But Chiniquy, in his book titled "The 50 Years in the Church of Rome," said that already. And this was like the 1860s, the Jesuits were in control of most large cities. Now, I don't understand how that could happen, but Alberto Rivera, in his book, The Godfathers, revealed that the sign given to Jesuits worldwide that they were in control of the U.S. would be when a U.S. president took his oath of office facing an obelisk like in the Vatican. And for the first time ever, President Reagan, the inauguration services moved to the West Wing, and he faced the Washington Monument.
Wow.
And since then, every president has faced the Washington Monument in his oath of office.
And let's talk about the Pope for a minute.
Okay.
With this Pope, I can't remember the book right now. I got it on my bookshelf, but they discussed that he was supposed to be the last pope.
I believe he is.
Yeah.
And it's
go ahead.
Okay.
No, you're going to
explain. It's based on Revelation 17, where it says there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other's not yet come, and he will continue a short time. And he is even of the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if you count up the popes since Mussolini reinstated the papacy, with the Pius and Pope Paul and John the 23rd and John Paul I, I'm not even sure whether he's counted or not because he really didn't exist, and he only 1 month.
Yeah.
But bottom line. The current pope is even of the eighth, which might mean the beast, et cetera. He worships Lucifer. You can see that on YouTube if you type in John Paul. Worship of Lucifer, Vatican. It's at Easter that Francis the song was clearly Lucifer, et cetera. I just think the clues are so clear, and I have a Catholic friend who, with the Pope's recent thing about telling this man from Chile who was abused by a priest and now he's homosexual, and Pope Francis says that God made you just the way you are,
right.
Be happy.
I've seen that last week,
Yeah, bad situation.
Oh.
God
didn't
make him that way. Blame the priest, et cetera. And but God, God does not change. And in His Word, which Pope Francis said the Bible is a very dangerous book. Well, it's dangerous because it exposes the papacy. Yes, it would be dangerous to their system. But I just think we need to get back to the Bible and understand it with clarity. The Pope, I kind of forgot that I was going to mention my friend, a Catholic, all his life. And he says the Pope is naked. He's talking about where we have to have our loins girded with truth. The shield of faith and whatever. Pope doesn't have anything. He's just out there flapping in the breeze as far as.
Yeah.
And he wrote that article, published it on his website. I believe there are going to be some sincere Catholic people who understand real Bible truth enough to make a change, because the last call in the Bible is to come. Babylon has fallen, come out of her, don't be partakers of her sins, and receive not of her plagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there'll be more Catholics in heaven than Protestants at this point because there's so many of them, but some of them need to make a change as the times come to see that we don't want to be part of a new world order with false worship, which is what the Bible says it will have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's Malachi. He was a, oh Lord, help me out with this.
Oh, Malachi Martin.
Yeah, that's he's the one that wrote this list. I think it had 112 names on it, and he identified not by name but by symbology what each pope would represent. And if I remember reading that book correctly, I mean, he nailed every one of them.
Yes. I was wrong. It's not Malachi Martin, who was recent, but it was goes way back centuries ago that he wrote this. You're correct.
Right. Yeah. It's like in the 16 or 17, maybe 1600s, I think. And but he nailed them all the way down. And even the last pope, it was the something about, you know, from Peter Romanus, Petrus Romanus, something like that.
Right.
Peter
to
Roman. And they said, oh, well, this pope came from Argentina, so that, obviously that can't be him. But he was raised in Rome and then went to Argentina as the bishop. But he was raised as a child in Rome, so they were like welcoming him back home. He was appointed pope. So, I mean, it came right out there. And isn't he a Jesuit as well?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and it's the first Jesuit to be a pope, if I remember.
I think so.
Yeah. And I mean, all these things are just, you know, when you start tying all these loose ends together, you can't help but look at the Bible prophecies and say, there's that one, there's that one, there's that one, there's that one. What's next?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we are on the verge of big things, and may your light shine and stay bright through it all, because we don't have a lot of time, in my opinion.
It grieves me when I think about, you know, friends and family members that just refuse to accept, you know, Christ as their Savior, and you're like, don't you understand? You know, this is not something about I don't want to go to church on Sunday. This is dealing with total eternity. You know, and I used an example one time in a sermon. Had a long rope, and I had a piece of tape, like a 1-inch duct tape at the end. And I had someone hold the rope, stretch it all the way out across the room. And I said, now, this would represent all of eternity. I could take the rope on the other side. You know, there is no beginning, there is no end. Take it this way, there is no end. But this little piece of tape represents the what we call time. God cut out a little section called, I'm going to call this time, of which there is a beginning and there is an end. And then in the total existence of time, whether it's 6,000 years or 6 billion years, you have a lifespan that the Bible refers to as a little wisp of smoke. And in that little tiny wisp of smoke, you must decide where your lifeline is going to extend, either into heaven or not, you know.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, but yet people just don't get it. How do you try and convince them with this?
I think God will partly do that because the Church of Laodicea says that they think they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing when Christ is outside knocking, and God is going to remove some of this rich and increased with good stuff. Mm-hmm. So that when we really don't have it, and we then begin to wonder what is it, you know, that we can realize that the true security is not based on things and what it will buy, but upon a relationship with God who loves us, cares for us, provided for our salvation, and it's not too difficult to go in His direction, you know.
Exactly.
The end times will drive those that are really bent on themselves and on no repentance, just they want to be saved in their sins somehow. And by the way, I have to come back to this. Hope this isn't too much for some of the listeners, but you mentioned the Jesuits as I have. The Jesuit, if you look it up in the dictionary, is the Society of Jesus. And the word for Jesus, there was no J in Hebrew and no J in Greek. And Christ said, I'm come in my Father's name. In Italy, they pronounce the Father's name, God's name, as Ye. They pronounce Christ's name as Jesus.
Jesus. So does Latin America, Jesus.
Yeah, and Jesus. And we say Jesus. But the point is that Zeus was the savior god of Greek mythology who saved everybody. You didn't even have to repent.
Amen.
You just save me, and Zeus would respond to say, you're saved, you know. But my point is that God can't do that. He will save us if we repent. And it's based on, you know, Peter on the first day of Pentecost says, when the people said, what should you do? We should repent and be saved for remission of sin, or in other words, sending them away. Yeah. You cannot have a salvation without our willingness to do it God's way. And that's inherent in the end times. Those that don't want to do it God's way will be lost. But it's a big loss, like your rope shows. Nothing God asks is His law that I'm seeing is wise and good. It protects us. It's kind of like the word law is wall spelled backwards. And in the ancient Israel, they had walls around certain cities. And if you went outside, the avenger could get you. If you stayed within the city, you're protected. Well, if you stay within the law, you are protected. It's only when you go outside the law that you're vulnerable, you know.
Yeah.
And we have to repent from our wishes to go outside of the law.
Amen. Amen. You know, you started answering that question by saying, you know, at the end times, a lot of people, you know, with the loss of the economy and everything they trust in, they're going to say, you know, what is it? What's going on? What is it? Manna. You know, that's the definition of manna, is what is it? That's what they were saying.
Oh. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the manna from heaven is Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and people,
amen,
when all these things are happening, they say, what is it? And they say, yes, it is. Yes, you're correct. You're correct.
Yeah.
But, praise God. Doctor, it was a blessing to talk to you again today. And we're going to have to stay in touch every couple weeks just to catch up on current events, because they're just unfolding so fast. I mean, we could almost do a daily broadcast just with you and me.
Hey, if there's a big earthquake, let's do it, because there are seven topics of unleavened bread. See, I'm saying that this fits Passover timing, even though it's the second month Passover. Mm-hmm. But Passover, the feast at Passover, was unleavened bread. And it coincides with the wedding feast, the betrothal. When we consider the topics, seven of them, if there's an earthquake, I think, why not give us a call? We can talk about it Thursday morning.
Amen. Amen. Sounds good. And just so people can get a hold of you and find out about the books you've written and all that, what is your contact information you want to share?
I would say they should go to Amazon.com and get a free copy of my book, The Earthquake and Seven Seals, on Wednesday. It's free. And if they don't do Kindle, they can get a free app for their computer. I read Kindle books on my computer, and they always cost less, so you don't have to pay postage and so on. And so everything is free, and it's readable. That would be first choice. Second choice, if they have questions and want to email me before the earthquake, I think I'm going to be very busy after the earthquake, if there is one. Between now and then, if they have a question, something, they can email me at ruling7@juno.com. That's RUHLING at juno.com. Whatever. Thank you very much, and God bless you, and let's keep in touch.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. And folks, that's all the time we're going to have for today. Keep an eye up, because our redemption's drawing near. And Doctor, I appreciate you. And for Dr. Ruling and myself, this is Pastor Bob Tibble reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.